Greetings, Mr. and Mrs. Middle America and all the ships at sea. This is Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM. And to the hostile invading alien armies hovering silently just behind their cloaking devices just outside of Earth's atmosphere, remember, eat the Canadians first. Had there ever been an invasion in, let's say, the aughts, right, in the sometime in the first decade of the new millennium, I think our main guest tonight would have been involved. Kind of a cool thought. Mark Music is his name. He's a retired Nebraska Air National Guard Major General, and his specialty was commanding the airborne units, or the, you know, the flight units that refuel planes in midair. So he, you know, that's the kind of thing they trained for. I love that. But we're not going to talk to him about that. Coming up next hour, Mark Music is the co-author of a new book on Howard Hughes. I put up some photos last night at coasttocoastam.com under tonight so that you could see what some people dispute, but I'm just going to go with tonight as being the last known photo of Howard Hughes. How do you think Howard Hughes died? What's the story? What's the accepted story of the death of Howard Hughes? That's what we're going to challenge tonight. The book is called Boxes, The Secret Life of Howard Hughes. And it kind of starts with Mark Music's retirement. He went to work for a not-for-profit where he happened to start interacting with a woman who started to tell her story of Howard Hughes. And he, being so fascinated by it, continued to pursue it, working with co-author Douglas Wellman. They kind of made both the early versions of this book in on various platforms, and then this book. And I can't wait to talk about it. You can link up to it through coasttocoastam.com, and we'll talk about the fact that this should be a movie because it's amazing. And his co-author would be the perfect person to produce it because he has a long history in television, but that's not the point. Tonight, it's going to be Mark Music with us starting next hour. We'll talk about the real secret life of Howard Hughes, the secret life of a man who was already considered secretive, starting next hour, and we'll get to your calls coming up later on that subject. We'll do open lines this hour. I'll just put that warning out there right now. If you already know the numbers and you want to get involved, let's say you weren't on last night, right? Can we just, if you had called in last night for open lines, let's, you know, give it a rest and let some other people jump in this hour. That would be good. But at the same time, I want to start open lines with a non-open line, an open invitation that I threw out to somebody earlier this evening. Speaking of entertainment, movies, there's a voice that you've heard 1,000 times in your life without knowing that he's a coastie. And he and I were doing what we sometimes do, which is kind of Twitter chat. Usually it's about the show. Tonight we got started talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning because that's his team in the Stanley Cup. And if you missed it, tonight's game five was awesome. There's a chance for Tampa Bay to wrap up the Stanley Cup against the Dallas Stars, and the game went into double overtime before the Stars were able to pull it off with the help of a couple of their veterans. And so we'll start there. But I want to play. I'm not going to tell you his name. I want you to hear his voice first, and then we'll talk about his life as a Coast to Coast fan, as well as other things that you might know him for. Coming up next on Coast, kind of a secret guest thing. Very exciting. On Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. So we'll go to open lines coming up in just a few minutes. I'll talk to a friend who's also a friend of Coast to Coast in a second. But I want to play his demo reel, which I pulled off of YouTube. You know, there's a select group of men and women who make their living just as voiceover specialists. You almost never see them. Although many of them are very telegenic, they don't appear on television shows, just the announcers of them, or for that matter, on TV commercials, which they do a million of, and or movies, which, especially when it comes to trailers, depend on a great voiceover guy like Ed Weigel. Roll it.
Ed Weigel, movie trailers and promos. When a drug cartel turns his hometown into a battleground, an ex-Navy SEAL vows to take it back, even if he has to follow the cartel into the jungles of Central America. Now on DVD, Jada Pinkett Smith is Hawthorne.
I take care of sick people for a living.
Trust me.
She makes a difference.
You're going to live.
In every life she touches.
I like being a mom.
Me too.
The complete first season. Buy it today on DVD. It's the hit comedy series Variety calls A Laugh a Minute. Now it's coming back for another side-splitting season. He lived half his life bound by silence, rising to the top of the mob's hierarchy. But in La Casa Nostra, retirement plans aren't a part of the bargain. When a young girl finds buried treasure in her grandmother's garden, a family secret will finally be revealed in a tale of mystery, magic, and romance. To reach me, Ed Weigel, call
323. And that's just amazing. So I love Ed. Ed and I chat on occasion. Frequently after I got off the air on Coast to Coast, I'll look down and I'll see a friendly tweet from Ed. So it's nice to have an actual conversation with you that isn't restricted to the number of characters we have on Twitter.
You know something? I'm going to have to get you a newer demo. That one's so old it has cobwebs on it.
Well,
Ian, you know, this is a call that's been 20 years in the making.
I love that. So, you know, and in a world where a guy like Don LaFontaine could end up having a documentary made about him for saying things like, in a world, voiceover, I think people really finally understand a little bit better about voiceover artists. And the fact that you do this all the time is your day job, but you listen to Coast all the time at night.
Well, I do. I mean, ever since Art Bell hosted it, I mean, nobody did the show like Art Bell. I mean, he created a world of his own, owned the nighttime airwaves, and you know, as you well know, it's a special time. I worked overnight radio. Of course, I was playing rock at the time. I wasn't doing talk. And, man, it was just, there's just something about it. And then what Art was able to do with it, taking all these topics, and I swear that he would almost creep himself out with some of the topics.
I think
that
he did,
had,
too.
But, you know, I've always just been such a fan. I've been in the business voiceover for 40 years, radio and television for 38, although I'm kind of retired from radio, but still I geek out on this stuff and the people who have made such a contribution to it.
Well, you know, so did you ever use, this is an aside, so pardon me, everybody, for this, but I think I even asked you about this on Twitter a couple of years ago, but did you ever make it to any of the talk radio conventions that R&R used to have?
No, and okay. Boy, that's a magazine I sure missed, because I got every gig from the back page, every good gig in radio that I ever had from the back pages of R&R. It was Radio and Records. It's a now, unfortunately, defunct magazine.
Yeah.
Which went out to all of the radio station people, and that was our
Bible. And it was the first time anybody had ever heard the name Kardashian. Because it was Robert Kardashian's publication, and he was famous for it, and that was so weird that somehow radio people knew who he was, but now it's the other way around. All his kids and the
knew that. You're telling me something I didn't know. I thought you were saying about how the stupid television show might have been.
No,
I didn't know that was his publication.
Oh yeah, no, lawyer, and then I think he got funding. I think his brother was involved, or there was somebody else was an angel investor that helped to start that. And yeah, no. So,
see, that's
but
why
here's
I listen to you.
I can't. This is so funny because I mean I associate you with other things, and I remember I never missed a Cigar Dave smoker at the talk radio conventions. Which I loved, even though I wasn't an alpha male or any of that other stuff. But so you have this a long pedigree in radio, but you started very young. You were what, 15?
No, I was 13 when I started in voiceover. I was a little kid in high school, and a teacher had a pal of his who needed a narrator for an industrial film about a steel rolling plant in La Trobe, where I grew up. And that was my first paid gig. And then, of course, that led to commercials. And then, of course, commercials weren't cool enough for for what a 15-year-old, radio was where I wanted to be because I could play all the latest hits for all my pals in school, and it was a lot cooler than being the guy that did a spot for a funeral home or a some dog food deal at Publix.
Radio gets you girls.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that, I swear to God, that's
some of the better ones too. I mean, I have some regrets on that, but I mean, anyway, well, that's for another.
But
that's
another
night.
But seriously, I mean, it's funny because like that, I think half of the people I know in radio started off because they thought it was a great way to meet girls, and it kind of is. But
I did it. Bass Ackwards, because I started out in voiceover, then radio. Usually you start out on radio, and then somebody says, hey, can you do my commercial? And then it builds from there. But, you know, everything I've done in my life has been kind of backwards.
Well, you know, and I wish I did have your updated reel, because I know that you do some really cool work. Now, you don't – we were, you know, Twitter chatting tonight about Tampa Bay, the Lightning. Tough loss tonight, obviously.
My blood pressure is normal now.
Yeah, what was that like in double OT? I mean, that was amazing. It was a great game.
It was a great game, but man, difficult to watch. I had to have an extra glass of wine.
Well, I was actually a little worried about that, so I checked with the producers to make sure they got in touch with you last hour. But then you don't actually. I thought you lived in Sarasota for some reason, or.
Well, I live in Venice. Venice is about less than 20 miles south of Sarasota.
Okay.
This has been my second home all my life, and I finally moved down here when I took over doing all the radio for, a certain wrestling promotion, which is on the shelf with the rest of the live event industry and like tens of thousands of us from the promoters who put the butts in seats to the guy that sells the hot dogs at the ballpark. We're all basically unemployed, which is my situation right now.
You were WWE back when it was WWF, weren't you? I mean, you've been with them a long time.
Yes, I was, actually. And you named it, so okay, we'll go there.
Yeah, oh, come on. Yeah, I don't care.
It was WWF when I joined. I started doing – actually, I was running two radio stations in Indianapolis, and I got a call from a former colleague of mine, a great, wonderful voice actor by the name of Nick Summers, who I replaced at a company in Indianapolis called Tour Design. And they used to do all the concert spots and monster trucks and, you know, AC/DC, you know, all that stuff that you used to hear that would, you know, put pack the arenas. And we became fast friends and always wanted to pool our resources. And about 9 years later, and this would have been about the time that we first got in touch, when I was in the Indy running those two radio stations.
Oh, yeah.
And I started, he said, look, I need your help. Can you do some WWF radio spots? Because he wanted to move on to some other projects with the company. And I said, sure. And, of course, I had to give up the radio gig because the WWF was all-consuming. And it was shortly to become WWE because of the lawsuit with the Wildlife Federation
the worldwide they did have it first. So I mean
that's a little technicality there.
I know but I mean it was I don't think the WWE has suffered as a result of having to change their name slightly.
Well we're doing all the TV shows, of course, at the Orlando place, and you know, we would do a lot of live event show. Well, there's no audience,
right?
With anything, everything is dead. Concerts, you know, except that down here in Florida, they just opened everything up, and it's really been open for a while because you can still go to the local pub and see a band play. Whatever, they still keep the distances and they maintain whatever order they can, but it's nothing like it was, and it's. It's pretty much killed the industry. There's a lot of people out of work.
Yeah, and you hate that, but you also, I mean, everything's a trade-off, and I don't know that there's no perfect map here, and I think it's always difficult on a day-to-day basis to measure a national policy against perfection when there is no map, and we're getting data in routinely that may change how we thought about the data from last week or how we're planning ahead. But I mean, it's going to take a lot of patience.
You remember, I mean, it was always the entertainment business was the stalwart in times of war, in the darkest times of history. We were always the ones that were people's respite, and they would come to see the movies and the shows and everything else, and we don't have that this time. This is totally unprecedented.
No, that's true, and it will be great to get back to that. I miss it like anybody else does. But I'm also around a lot of vulnerable seniors and kids. And so I weigh that against, like, how much do I miss that as opposed to feeling like I'm going to become some sort of, I mean, super spreader is an overused term. But, I mean, I'm a little worried about, and especially because I have one of these, like, cast iron constitutions. I never get sick, but I know I've had things before. And so I'm afraid of of spreading it and never actually knowing it because I wouldn't show any symptoms. But listen, so this is what I want to get. So Tampa Bay ends up losing, so I don't want to, like, harp that. But I was curious because when I asked you in the tweet tonight and I said, isn't it – I think it's very compelling how well they handle the fake audio of the crowds, all of the atmospherics of hockey, or for that matter, any sporting event. Basketball is another good example of that, where I think it's actually fairly seamless.
The way it was described to me by the producer with in fact, he works with Tampa. He said it comes from the same place where they do the audio for games, video games.
Right. That totally works for me.
I don't know exactly how it works. I don't think the announcers hear it. But, it, you know, like I told you, for the audience, it's a subliminal indication that everything is normal.
Right. It adds a little excitement, just like we would know from radio producing something with sound effects. It may be artificial joy, but you take it where you can, you know. We're talking with Ed Weigel. A national voiceover specialist and a coastie who has been with the show for a very long time. And I've actually been thinking.
Don't believe him.
But I thought about asking you on a long time ago. I just didn't have a reason until tonight when we were talking about Tampa Bay. And I thought, let's do it tonight. So thanks for making time for us.
I mean, this is one of the biggest honors being, you know how I feel. You're one of my favorite hosts. And this show has been such a part of my life for a long time. But, you know, I still think you brought me on here before your topic du jour tonight so that Howard Hughes doesn't look like quite an eccentric.
Well, I will tell you something. I'm fighting every instinct I have to try to not talk lower while I'm talking to you. Do you notice people doing that when they're speaking to you, that they suddenly start trying to sound...
I always tell people you'll get used to it.
Never. I'm really glad you pointed out the fact that so much of our business, so much of entertainment has changed, and we don't know where it's going to end up. But it is compelling that things like podcasting flourishing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, also, and even different forms of radio are doing well. Have you thought about if doing a day-to-day radio show doesn't interest you, have you thought about doing a podcast?
You know, I really don't because, I mean, my life has changed so profoundly since this pandemic and what I was doing. In fact, I even let my website domains lapse in the last 10 years, and I'm only now trying to piece that together because I was just too damn busy with everything else that I was doing, and I wasn't really looking for extra work and extra because I had all I can handle on a day-to-day basis. And now everything, the dynamic has totally changed. So I really don't know what all I'll be getting into.
Yeah, but think about it this way. I'm gonna push you on that because I think the important thing, and I teach podcasting, and I'm always, and you know these things just from your years in radio too, when you say, you know, my life has changed because of the pandemic and we talked about all of the impact that's going on here, that's its own kind of drama. I think you may be underselling the unique opportunity you have to theme a podcast that would be very compelling. And so I would want you to kick that around. It doesn't have to be long. You could start doing it. And I think it's good practice, but I also think that's also a good way to bridge to where a lot of entertainment is going, which is this sort of over the transom, right? The over the top OTT stuff where people are just making specific products for specific audiences as opposed to the mass audiences that we had just come to accept were always going to be available to us.
Right.
I hope
I
you
don't know what I would talk about, though.
You already have.
I think whatever topic I would come up with would get stale ultimately.
No, I think you talk about your life, and I think you talk about it the way that I've heard you interview people, and you're an interesting guy. So I want you to think about that. But Ed Weigel, thank you so much for giving us time, getting us started for Open Lines. It's fun for other Coasties to hear famous Coasties like you and connect to know that they're not alone and that you're out there. Because I love the fact
I really appreciate you inviting me.
I love the fact that you're out there. Thank you so much, Ed. Have a great night.
Oh, and
for you, I will say go Tampa Bay. They'll wrap it up on the next game on Monday night. They really will. The old guys will come through for Tampa Bay like they did for the Stars tonight. So then we'll get to open lines. If you don't know the numbers, we'll give them next. But I think the lines are already filling up. Love to hear what you have to say. Where do you want to take the show? Coming up next on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. So we'll start with the first-time caller line on open lines just because it looks like Kevin in Montana was watching the hockey game that I was just watching with Ed. Hey, Kevin, were you watching the Lightning versus the Stars?
Wow, was that a game or what?
I know. Awesome.
I just wanted to give my quick 2 cents worth on Dobie and goal for the Stars. Holy cow, I mean, you and I know the name Grant Fuhr and Andy Moga, I'm sure. And
right.
I just don't remember them doing that, the save counter going. He was hitting 35 and then 40 and then 41 and 42 in a row. And it was like, geez.
You know, and here's the thing for me. I'm kind of conflicted about the Stars because they used to be the North Stars, and I had a kind of an affection for them in Minnesota. So yeah. I sort of feel like, you know, like part of me thinks of them as sort of traitors, you know, and then the other part of me is like, okay, well, good old Stars. And yet what I thought was really impressed with is I thought it was the veterans that showed up. And I thought in a time when, I mean, hockey is so demanding that the veterans did as well as they did after in double overtime. That's the part. Geez. That's conditioning right there, I thought.
That was a nail biter, I'll tell you. But no, I want to really compliment you. Always do an exceptional job on Coast. And thank you so much for taking my call. And best of luck to you, my friend.
Well, thank you. I'm doing my best Tom Denheiser and George Norrie impersonation by talking about hockey. Usually they're the guys that are talking about it, not me. I should be talking about the Wildcats because K-State pulled off a stunner today in Oklahoma, but we won't. Wildcard line, thank you so much, Kevin. Wildcard line, Thomas is in La Jolla on Coast to Coast AM. Thomas?
Hi, Ian, you're the best. I have a friendly theology question for
sure.
you.
Okay.
Since you are writing the definitive book on the life of Moses.
No, I am not. I did not. We wrote a book is coming up on October 20th, which is about leadership lessons that millennials who are not necessarily the most inclined to go to any type of house of worship would be interested in learning from the life of Moses. So
Go ahead.
I don't want to oversell it like we've done something, but it is still a very informative book on leadership and Moses. Yes.
The question I had for you, friendly question, the only place in the Bible where the Lord God reveals his own name is in Exodus 3:14,
right.
And he reveals it specifically to Moses out of the burning bush. And in the King James Version of the Bible, the name of God is revealed as, quote, I am that I am, unquote. Other versions of the Bible have different variations of the name. And I was wondering what your perspective was on that encounter in Exodus 3:14, the burning bush,
right.
Moses hearing the name of the Lord,
right.
you know, revealed. And what is your perspective
on that? Well, first of all, I'll tell you something interesting you may not know is that the Quranic version, the version of that story that's in the Quran, very close to the biblical version that you know, which is always interesting to see where the Quran and the Bible parallel, if not overlap. So the name of God. So we're talking about the Grammaton, we call it, the Tetragrammaton, referring to the four letters. We translate four letters in Hebrew. So it, actually in Hebrew, it does not say, I am who I am, or I am that I am. It doesn't say that. What it says in Hebrew is it just gives a yod, a he, a vav, and a he. Those are four Hebrew letters. This is where people originally, when they were translating the Bible, mistakenly translated the yod as a J sound, and that's where we get Jehovah. But more accurately, if we were to pronounce it, and we shouldn't be, according to God, because the name should never be spoken out loud, is Yahweh. So that's where we get that. That's the Tetragrammaton. It's just four letters. Now, what does it mean? What do those four letters mean? Well, this has been debated for millennia. The belief is by many people way smarter than me, is that it's an acronym or an acrostic, but it's symbolic, and it's not intended to be a name like my name is Bob, right? And so by saying I am that I am, what we pull from that is that God is a verb. God does not talk about God's self as a noun, but as a verb. There's an old Led Zeppelin song, What Once Was, What Is, and What Shall Always Be, is actually a fairly close rendering, if we were to write out that concept, of what the name of God meant. It was sort of eternal. I have always been, and I always will be. So when God says that, and this is only because Thomas asked, and only because I've been working on this book that I'm full of all of this, but that's the interesting part. Is so the what God was doing with Moses at that time in the Exodus 3:14 narrative on Sinai is he was arming Moses with a magic kind of name, a name which was to invoke fear and was to over sort of to make a larger, broader claim to Pharaoh, you know, tell them and tell everybody that this is who sent you. And that was supposed to be like a calling card, like, don't mess with me. I'm here representing what was, what is, and what shall always be. And that part is really fascinating to me, because what we get from that, by the way, later on is, remember, you know, the whole thing about don't take the Lord's name in vain. The idea is that you're never supposed to use the actual name of God. Very observant Jews will look at those four letters and not pronounce them, and instead they will say Adonai, or the Lord, in place of. It's a placeholder name for the actual name of God. There are, by our account, by the way, most in Judaism, in Islam, in some corners of English, you know, Christianity, there are 99 different names for God. But the only one that God specifies is that one. And that's the one we're never supposed to say out loud, because it was so powerful that it would be like abusing the power that was given. So that's why you never take the name of the Lord in vain, is because it would be like using it in a magic trick or using it to get something you want. And you're never supposed to do that just to get something you want. So that was a very long answer. Was that informative at all for what you were looking for out of that?
You're the best, Gloria and Excelsius Deo. Thank you very much for your answer.
I hope it was helpful. That's why the Bible is just sort of endlessly fascinating. And the more you drill, especially when comparing it with the Quranic texts, because I think in the Quran, I don't have my book in front of me. You know, the book isn't actually released till October 20th, so I haven't read it yet. In the Quran, it doesn't actually specify Sinai. So there are times when in Muslim tradition, they accept the word from the Bible and they say it was Sinai, because they don't have, if it doesn't conflict with the with the Quran, you're allowed to or encouraged even to accept other traditional understandings as long as it doesn't conflict. And one of the things I learned most is the narrative of the life of Jesus, which appears in the Quran, has some very interesting connection points to the Gospel of Matthew. And many Muslims I know read the Gospel of Matthew, and they accept it completely except to the, up to the resurrection piece. I think that's just great. I could talk about it all day long, but I won't. Because Rusty, east of the Rockies, Pensacola, Florida, on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Rusty.
How are you, Ian?
Doing all right. It's open lines. Where do you want to take us?
Yeah. Well. First of all, thanks. That you, the trainer's wonderful. I think you can take Ed. You could use him for a whole 3 hours.
Oh, no.
He's
kidding.
Wonderful. God.
No,
he's
kidding.
Great.
I know. And the voice of God. Yeah. No, I love Ed Ligle. Right. I think he was awesome. And I asked him tonight just to come on for fun. But I still think maybe one of these nights we should try to get him to guest host.
Well,
he's got the chops for it.
Great. I could listen to him, forever. And, Insomniac. But I always tell my wife, I said, my Mensa friend, Ian.
My Mensa friend. You meant mental.
She didn't understand it. She
didn't slipped.
That. But anyway, here's my skinny. We just had a hurricane come through here.
Yeah, you
and
did.
Our power was off for 5 days. The internet's out and our cable's out. And you know what? I still had a radio.
Yeah.
And I think radio may make a comeback because of situations like this.
I agree completely.
I just want to, what do you think about that?
I hope this is an alternative power situation. It's so easy to have a battery powered radio, and every radio station has a backup power supply. So this is the way that communities hang together in crises. And I believe radio is not dead. It won't be dead. It is going to go through some changes. We don't know what it's going to look like on the other end. And it's not just, the pandemic. It's not just business disruption. Radio has always survived. And radio always comes out better for it because people love connectivity. And radio is connectivity. So thank you, Rusty. I agree 100%. Wayne is in Chicago on Coast to Coast. Wayne.
Hey, and this is your guy from uptown. How you doing?
All right. How is Chicago quiet tonight?
Yeah, it's pretty quiet, man. Not too much trouble so far, hopefully.
Good.
Anyway, and I have two great stories for you. And
love to hear them.
So great about them is they're true and unbelievable. I still can't believe them myself. Ian, have you ever got on LSD at Wilson Avenue?
I used to always get on, he's referring to Lakeshore Drive for people who don't know. And I would get on Lakeshore Drive. I'd get on LSD right there at Ardmore and Sheridan, roughly, right there.
Okay, well.
Right at the beginning. That's where my wife's family grew up, was right there at the beginning of the Outer Drive.
Right. You know where the hospital is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wilson and Marie.
Yeah, I do. Sure.
Okay, and I was in that hospital. I'm real sick.
I'm sorry.
August of 2018. Mm. And one night, I was getting better by the day real quick. I was in there for 2 weeks. I was getting better by the day. One night I was just in my room by myself and looking out the window, looking straight at downtown Chicago, right?
Right. It's a beautiful view, right up there down LSD, right to downtown Chicago.
Right. I'm on the fourth floor of the hospital looking out my window. I'm the only one in the room. There's this one star in the sky, just one star. And I was like, wow, just one star? Where are the other stars at? So a thought came to my mind. See, everybody, you got to be careful for what you wish for. A thought came to my mind and said, star, move off toward the lake, toward the east.
Oh.
I'm looking, and it actually started moving. I still can't believe it to this day.
I've heard that story from somebody. I'm not saying it's a story. I've heard somebody else tell me something very similar to that. And I don't know what the deal is on that, but that's fascinating.
You know what I think the deal is with that was for me? I think that was God telling me, I'm protecting you. You have much
good.
More power than you think.
I love that.
Be careful what you wish for.
Ain't that always
that's
the truth?
It was, man.
Yeah.
Anyway,
oh, it's great.
Story,
yeah, real quick.
Like 3
ahead.
Years ago, I used to talk to this guy. He's a radio talk show host named Alan Combs. You probably know him.
I know Alan. I knew him.
Anyway,
I knew him personally, yeah.
It was like early in the morning, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling something poking in my side, waking me up, right? Nobody's in my apartment but me. I'm like, what the hell was that? Cut on the radio, found out Alan Combs passed away.
Yeah.
He was a comedian, so that was his final goodbye to me. I know it for sure.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, the last time I talked to Alan Combs, and Wayne, it's a story for another day, but last time I talked to Alan Combs, he was yelling at me on the phone. For something I said that he didn't like. So I'll just let it go at that.
We used to go at it, you know. So he probably wanted to know what I look like in real life, since we had only talked on the radio.
Yeah.
He probably wanted to see what does Wayne really look like. Then he poked me in the side for fun. Let me
I like that.
I'm gone now.
I like that. And he died way too young. So thank you. I appreciate that. Wildcard line, Ed is in California on Coast to Coast AM. Ed?
Hi, Ian. You hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, you're great.
Okay, fine. There's something funny going on with the phone. I'm in a little town called Tehachapi, which is north of Los Angeles. But when I heard Ed Weigel talking, I grew up in Pittsburgh, which is right near Latrobe.
Sure.
And his voice, and about the same age as him, I would think, he might even have a sister who's a nun, Mercy Nun. They're the ones who taught me when I was growing up. And he reminded me of a guy in Pittsburgh. I just thought I'd leave you with a little humor. His name was Reach Kordick. And he was the big man on KDK radio for many years till he thought he could do better by going out to Hollywood. he had two, I remember two things that he promoted. One had to do with a drunk who flew off the end of a half-completed bridge in Pittsburgh. So Kordick came up with this thing, he called it, and he landed on the other side in the mud, and he was so drunk he didn't even know what he had done.
He had literally
flown across one of the rivers in Pittsburgh.
Oh, crazy.
And so Reach Kordick comes on, and he had what was called the Kordick and Company Bridge Leap Contest. So everybody could sign up for that. And another one of his things was a beer that he came out with. It was Iron City beer from Pittsburgh that he called it around Christmas time. He called it Old Frothing Slosh, the beer with the foam on the bottom.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'll check with Ed to find out whether he connects with that. He may already be tweeting about it now. So thank you, Ed, in California. We get time for Mike in North Carolina. Take us up to the top of the hour, and then we'll be talking about the real secret life of Howard Hughes on Coast to Coast AM. Mike?
Yes. Hello, Ian. Yes, very quickly. I just wanted to ask you, I know you've lived in many places and city states throughout your life, and you seem to be a very well-rounded person. So how has living in so many places throughout your life basically, you know, shaped you as a person who you are, please?
I think it's sad. It bothers me that this new generation, even millennials, are seemingly unwilling to move around the country. I benefited enormously. Every place I moved, I learned something from. And I probably lived for a length of time in about 8 different cities. When the kids got too old to do that, we settled down in Minneapolis, St. Paul until they went to college. And I was glad we did that. But yeah, no, I'm not a gypsy by nature. My wife is a little bit more of one, but I learn from people, and I love north and south and west and east. And yeah, I can't tell you. I don't know where I would be if I hadn't exposed myself to that. So thank you so much. Interesting comment. I wish more people did. All right. The Real Life of Howard Hughes next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.